Amen. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. And our text this evening is that verse 59. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit or my soul. The man of wisdom has told us that the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. And the word that Solomon used for bold is a word that means trusting, or it means to be confident. So the righteous are as confident as a lion. And as Stephen stood there before the members of the Sanhedrin, speaking with great boldness, it is obvious that this lion heart had his trust and confidence in no one else but God alone. He could say with the psalmist David, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And when sin needed to be rebuked, and the truth needed to be told, then righteous Stephen was indeed bold as a lion. We should remember also, as well as having his trust and his confidence in Jehovah, Stephen was bold because he was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. And this is something, with the Lord's help, we have sought to emphasize. That is the need for God's people today to be filled with the Spirit of God. The fullness of the Spirit was not reserved for the apostles only. But the Lord, or rather Paul, has said, as he did to the church at Ephesus, and he was addressing all the believers, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And it beholds every Christian to seek the fullness of the Spirit of God. Certainly Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost, as we have just read. When a man is full of the Holy Ghost, he is indeed as bold as a lion. He fears not what flesh may do unto him. So that when boldness is required in the face of the enemy, in the face of the persecutors of those who preach the gospel, you can be sure of this, the Spirit of God will not fail in the hour of need. As it was with the apostles, so it was with Stephen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. See? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the whole chapter 7, you have there the message that Stephen gave to the members of the Sanhedrin, the Jerusalem Council. In almost every verse, Stephen gave the members of the Sanhedrin the word of God. He gave them the truth. And the Spirit-filled Christian will always be fearless for God. But the Sanhedrin could not contend with a fearless, faithful, spirit-filled stand of Stephen. They had no answer. And this lion heart, as far as they were concerned, he must be stopped. He must be silenced. And as far as they were concerned, that hour he must be slain. It was the only way they could stop the preaching of Stephen. It was the only way they could silence him, and that was to put him to death. And just as Stephen accused them and their fathers of betraying Christ and murdering him, they were now going to commit the same crime. They were going to murder Stephen. What was his crime? He preached the gospel. He preached Christ. And there as Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin, every man had death on his mind. Every man had murder in his heart. And before long, every man would have blood upon his hands. And it would be the blood of an innocent man. It would be the blood of this righteous, spirit-filled, godly man called Stephen. There they stoned Stephen to death. And his only crime was that he stood up for Jesus. I want us to consider, first of all, tonight the violence that was done against Stephen. I'm sure you've all, most homes represented here, have a copy. Or copies of Matthew Henry's Bible commentary. If you haven't, you should get it. Matthew Henry had this to say about what the Sanhedrin did to Stephen because of Stephen's words. Matthew Henry said, "See the strength of corruption in the persecution of Stephen. Malice in perfection. Hell itself broken loose. Men become incarnate devils. And the serpent's seed spitting their venom." My, what a classic description of the members of the Sanhedrin. Matthew Henry, as he always did, got it right. Malice in perfection. Hell itself broken loose. Men become incarnate devils, and the serpent's seed spitting their venom. The great Bible commentator, as it said, got it right because hell's fury broke loose that day in that council chamber. For every member of the Sanhedrin, hatred, malice, anger, bitterness, resentment, gall was in their cup. And every member of that Sanhedrin drank that cup and drained every last drop of it. And then they spewed it out upon this righteous man called Stephen. Because there wasn't one man in the Sanhedrin to stand up for the Lord or to stand up for Stephen. He was alone. But as the Savior himself said, with reference to Calvary, said, "I was alone," and then he said, "But I am not alone." Stephen before the Sanhedrin was alone, but praise God, he was not alone. For the Lord was with him. Hasn't the Lord promised, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? Never. No matter where we are, no matter how dark the night, no matter how deep the valley, Jesus Christ will be there. He's always with us. Even on to the end of the world. And praise God, when our worlds come tumbling down around us, and we can't find a sure standing, we can stand upon Christ, the immovable rock. He'll never fail us. He's always there. Notice the savaging of Stephen. For did those men of the Sanhedrin, did they not behave like savages that day in their unrestrained fury against Stephen? Solomon aptly describes them for us. Proverbs 29 verse 10. Solomon says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. Now when you think that Solomon had written those words to describe the members of the Sanhedrin, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. And if ever a bloodthirsty group hated an upright man, it was the Sanhedrin that day. And the upright man in this case, of course, was Stephen. Notice their wounding. We're told that they were wounded by what Stephen had said. They had taken great offense at what Stephen had said. Indeed, we're told in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And remember, Stephen gave them nothing else but the Word of God. And in giving the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord had applied the Word. And as a result, these men, we're told, were cut to the heart. That's what the Word of God does. For it is the sword of the Spirit. It's a good sword. It's a sharp sword. And how often has the Word of God cut a man to the very heart? Certainly did that with the members of the Sanhedrin and others. Because in Acts chapter 5 and verse 33, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. It was the preaching of Peter. He had preached the Word. He had preached Christ. And again, the same result. Cut to the heart. You know that word that is translated, cut to the heart, is found over in Hebrews. It's translated another way. Gives us a picture of what really had happened. Whenever Stephen gave them the Word of God. For we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 37 regarding those who suffered for Christ. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Same word. A heart sawn asunder. And so when Stephen gave them the Word of God, they were not only cut to the heart, the Word of God cut their hearts asunder. And you know when the Word of God cut their hearts asunder, laid it bare, their open hearts were bare before them and before God. And you know something? The members of the Sanhedrin didn't like what they saw. That's why they hated Stephen, because Stephen preached the truth to them. And they didn't like what they saw, because the Word of God as given by Stephen had sawn their hearts asunder, exposing their sin and their hypocrisy. And they didn't like what Stephen had said. Dear hearer tonight in this meeting, when the truth cuts you to the heart, Yea, when the truth of God's Word saws asunder your heart, your sin has been revealed. Don't rise up against the preacher. Don't rise up against the Lord. For the Lord is giving you the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And it's not what men and women need. They need to be set free. For souls today are bound and fettered by the devil and by sin. And what is it that will set them free? Why, it is this great book. It is the truth of God's Word. And him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So when the Lord gives you a word and it cuts your heart, listen, take it to heart. And thank the Lord for it. Are we going to rise up against the Lord? Because the Word of God has exposed our sin and shown us no, we're not perfect after all. We ought to take it to heart. But members of the Sanhedrin, these religious leaders, remember, scribes, these were religious men. And to have someone like Stephen stand before them and tell them, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. You uncircumcised in heart and in ears. That was straightforward. I tell you, that's what today. And always. So they were wounded. What did that lead to? It led to their wrath. We are told that they gnashed on him with their teeth. This was a visible demonstration of their fury and their anger. And just imagine these old proud religious men. And having this man Stephen stand before them and give them the truth and tell them the truth about themselves. You can just imagine them saying one to another, how dare this man speak to us in this fashion? Stephen could see it in the face of every man as they gnashed on their teeth, demonstrating their anger and their fury. But I'll tell you something. If those men died, that is, the members of the Sanhedrin, if they died as they were that day when they condemned Stephen to death, I'll tell you something, they're still gnashing their teeth. They're still gnashing their teeth. They're still gnashing their teeth and there's no Stephen preaching to them. They're still gnashing their teeth and there's no gospel been preached to them. How do I know? Because the Lord has told me. The Lord has told me and told everyone here in the Word regarding the Christ rejecter. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the members of the Sanhedrin are still weeping and they're still gnashing their teeth 2,000 years later. And they'll go on weeping and they'll go on gnashing their teeth. along with every man and woman who dies as a Christ rejecter. The same sentence will be passed. Bind them hand and foot. Take them away. Cast them into outer darkness. Now, you can't get round that. You can't get round those words. You can't say, well, the Lord Jesus meant something else. Have to face up to the truth. And the truth of God's Word tells us over and over again, because the Lord repeated those words 3 or 4 times, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's far better to stand up and face the truth and say, Lord, I don't want to be cast out into outer darkness. I don't want to spend eternity weeping and gnashing my teeth. I want to be in heaven. I want to walk the golden streets of glory someday and bask in God's own light. I want to be with Christ. I want to be with those who have gone before. Dear saint of God whom I mentioned this morning, she does not enjoy the best of health. It's a miracle she's still alive. Often speak with her on the telephone, this missionary I was telling you about this morning. She's in her 90th year. Remember one time I said to her, I said, well, Gladys, we may not meet here. Well, I said, we'll meet up there. She says, yes. She says, I'll be waiting for you just inside the eastern gate. I'll be waiting for you just inside the eastern gate. That's the hope of the Christian. That's the assurance the Christian has. We'll see one another again in glory. And I'll see that dear missionary lady someday in heaven. And she says she'll wait for me just inside the eastern gate. But it wasn't to be for the Sanhedrin if they died as they were. And it will not be for many if they die in their sin. It's time to get right with God. It's time to trust Christ. Singing tonight about the blood. Only the blood can prepare a soul for heaven. The savaging of Stephen, and then you have the seizing of Stephen. Now Stephen's persecutors pour out their vile fury upon him. There in verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And it's there, do you notice that? It's there that we're introduced to Saul of Tarsus. They seized Stephen. We're told they cast him out of the city and stoned him. All that just speaks to us of their anger. They showed their anger against Stephen, not only by gnashing their teeth, but they cried out aloud in a loud voice and they stoned him to death. Stopped their ears. It literally means they put their hands over their ears. They didn't want to hear any more. They didn't want to hear anything more of what Stephen had to say. I remember preaching at a graveside once. They always endeavor with God's help to preach the gospel. Because men and women are there looking at death. I remember preaching the gospel this day, and these two women turned and walked away, and I could hear as they left. They said, we didn't come here to listen to this. Stopped their ears. But the amazing thing is, maybe it's not so amazing, I learned a few months later, those same two women got saved. They'd heard enough of the gospel that day to bring conviction to their hearts, and they received Christ as their Savior. And the members of the Sanhedrin, they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. In their anger, they wanted to make themselves deaf to the gospel, and they wanted to make Stephen dumb with the gospel. They're like the wicked spoken about by David. Psalm 58, verses 4 and 5. They're like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of the charmers, charming never so wisely. David speaks about the wicked. They're like the deaf adder, stopping his ears. And they, David says, will not hearken to the voice of the charmer, even though they charm never so wisely. They're like many today who are deaf as the adder to the gospel. And they're determined not to hear it. Determined not to listen to the gospel message. And in turn, they get very angry. Because they're told they're sinners. So that's what Stephen was telling the Sanhedrin. And that proud, churchgoer, self-righteous individual doesn't want to hear the word that tells them all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Their anger and their action, we're told that they ran upon him. The words have reference to wild beasts. They've run down their prey, and now they all the wild beasts just run upon the prey, tear it to shreds. That's what those words mean, what they refer to. And there's poor Stephen, standing alone. He was supposed to be tried for blasphemy, the false witness had said. But there's no vote as to whether he's guilty or not. They didn't wait to decide whether he was guilty or not. When they heard what he had to say, it says they ran upon him. They seized him. And you know, Paul speaks about men like that. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's true. And men today live and there's no fear of God before their eyes. If there was a fear of God before their eyes, they wouldn't do the things they're doing today. And men don't want to believe that there is a God. They don't want to believe there's a day of judgment. They don't want to believe there's a great white throne. because it only troubles our conscience. And so they convince themselves there's no God, there's no judgment, there's no heaven, there's no hell. Because they love their sin. And they want to sin with a free hand. And that's what the members of the Sanhedrin were like. They were swift to shed blood. And the blood was the blood of Stephen. It's not a pretty picture, is it? And yet in the eyes of God, it's the picture of every man, woman, and child ever born of Adam's loins. It's a description of man's total depravity. And where there is death, only Christ can give life. Notice not only their anger and their action, but their accord. How often have we come across that phrase in our study thus far in the book of Acts? They did this and they did that with one accord. They were all with one accord. Here's the same phrase, only this time it is applied to the devil's crowd. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. If up until this moment we saw in the church in Jerusalem the accord, the fellowship of God's people, it was a holy accord. But now we have in contrast an unholy accord. Unholy accord. Every man in the Sanhedrin united against Stephen, as they did against Christ. It's the same council tried Christ. Same crowd. And the members of the Sanhedrin, I have no doubt they had personal differences. I have no doubt among themselves they couldn't stand one another. But when it came to the putting of Stephen to death, they all united. As it was with Christ, the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't stand the sight of one another. But they forgot their differences. And they united against Jesus Christ. I always think of that when I read Psalm 22, the great messianic psalm. It begins with the central cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here is Christ speaking in Psalm 22. And the Lord Jesus himself pictures his enemies as wild beasts. Listen to this. He says in verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. Verse 13, they gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. You come down to verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. And he goes on to speak about the lion and the unicorn and the dogs, and they all surrounded him. Tell me, where in the face of this earth would you get bulls and lions and dogs all coming together in one common cause? Why, they would tear the flesh off one another. There's no agreement between lions and bulls and dogs. But the Lord Jesus described his enemies in this way. He says they're like ravening and roaring lions, they're like wild dogs. And they all united against Christ. And here in the Sanhedrin, they all united against Stephen. The way the world is. The world hates Christ and the world hates the church of Christ. And men and women today, they'll unite against Christ, against the Christian, against the church of Christ. even though they may be enemies of one another, but they'll come together against God's people and against the Lord Himself. Next, you see the stoning of Stephen. After they had seized Stephen, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. This was a sign of their total rejection of Stephen and what he stood for and what he believed and what he preached. They cast him out of the city. They did the same with the Lord, of course. Outside the walls of Jerusalem, on a hill lone and bare, they cast him out of the city. Wasn't worthy to be part of the city. So it was with Christ. So it is today. You see, men are still casting Christ out. They're still casting him out of their homes. They don't want Christ in their hearts. They don't want Christ in their cities. They cast them out of their council chambers. They cast them out of their parliaments. And their cry is still the same. Away with him. Away with him. Is there anyone here tonight and Christ is not in your heart? You've heard the gospel often. You've sat under the ministry of a preacher who's been faithful to the word and declared the whole counsel of God and told you your need of Christ. Have you received Him yet? Or by rejecting Him, saying, away with Him. Away with Him. Away with Him. They have no room for Stephen. This man today have no room for Christ. According to the law of Moses, a blasphemer was to be stoned to death. Leviticus 24, verse 16. They used the law against Stephen. But they didn't use it lawfully. They used the law, but they didn't use it lawfully because Stephen was not a blasphemer. Stephen was an innocent man. And according to Mosaic law, the witnesses were to be the first to lift a stone and cast it at the victim. The witnesses were to be the first. And you know how they gathered up some false witnesses? And you look at the words there in Acts 7. And certainly it appears to me that those witnesses didn't waste any time in lifting up the stone him. Because we are told, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, listen, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Cast him out of the city and stoned him. No sooner had they cast Stephen out of the city than they started stoning him. They couldn't wait to stone him. Couldn't wait. Ready to lift up the stone and cast it at Stephen. Of course, like many that we all meet with today, ready to lift up the stone of criticism, ready to lift up the stone of condemnation and cast it at the man who has fallen or who has failed. Ready to throw stones. You should always remember the words of the Lord. Always go back to Christ. In John chapter 8, that woman taken in adultery, And we're told there in verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses' law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Try to put him on the spot. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And he stooped down again and he wrote on the ground. And they the which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And the Lord wanted to know, where are all the men that condemned you? Christ said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Remember what John said? That the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And there you have those who are ready to execute the law. Have this woman stoned to death. But when the Lord challenged them, well, all right, let the man among you who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And they all went out. And the Lord was left with the woman. Go and sin no more. There's grace. There's grace. Yes, the law condemns us all. But thank God there's grace with Christ. There's forgiveness with the Lord. And the sins that we have committed, no matter how many they are, there's power in Jesus' blood to wash as white as snow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Of course, the members of the Sanhedrin didn't know anything about that. We haven't time to go any further. But you notice the vision afforded to Stephen. There he is amongst his enemies. The members of the Sanhedrin may have cast Stephen out, but praise God the Lord didn't cast him out. Because we're told about the vision that Stephen had, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. See, the man that's full of the Holy Ghost will always have an eye on heaven. That's where he's working for. That's what he's working to. Heaven one day. He will live each day with eternity's values in view. Knowing that one day he will be called upon to give an answer. How he has spent his life. How he has spent his time. Stephen looked up to heaven. Stephen looked up. Isn't it wonderful when we come to die, we're able to look up in anticipation of what lies before us. Praise the Lord. We're able to look up. What of the ungodly? What of the unsaved? Oh, they're not looking up. They must look down. down into the darkness, down into the unknown that lies beyond the grave, down into the bottomless pit where there is no standing. When we come to die, will we be looking up or looking down? What did he see? Saw the glory of God. Dear Christian, one day we'll see the glory of God. Moses prayed to the Lord one day, "Lord, show me thy glory." The disciples Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration were told, saw his glory. We'd love to have been there, I'm sure. But the day is coming when we will be there. When we stand on Mount Zion as glorified saints, we'll see the glory of God. But he saw the Savior. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Saw the Lord. Fanny J. Crosby, the great hymn writer, said, one of her hymns, but we long to see the Savior first of all. And what a comfort this was for Stephen. When he came to die, there was Christ. There was Stephen, realizing personally, firsthand, the words of David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I need fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. And Jesus was with Stephen as he entered the valley of the shadow of death. And there's Christ standing. Why is he standing? Why, sure, he's standing to welcome Stephen home. He stood up for this first Christian mark. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Is that your hope? Will you be looking up as the way is growing bright and your soul is on the wing? You're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or are you looking down? If you know about Christ, you come to know him and receive him tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and eternal God, we rejoice in the life, witness, testimony, and even in the death of Stephen and what we have seen. We thank thee, Lord, for his peace. In the midst of it all, he had the peace of God which passeth all understanding. We thank thee, dear Lord, for his praying. What a way to go into the presence of the King with the words of prayer upon us. And, O Lord, we thank thee for his passing. He fell asleep in Christ. What a wonderful picture we have of death. Lord, I earnestly pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this meeting this evening, we'll be able to say from this moment, one day, I all will fall asleep in Christ. Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts.